Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
You know, we like to, every once in a while, pull some of the nut jobs that are up there that Libs of TikTok likes to highlight. I mean, some of these people are just legit crazy out there. We know that.
Go ahead, MAGA. Admit it. When you see California burning, you're like, yeah. You know why I know that? Because every time I hear a hurricane's coming or a big-ass tornado, I always say, please, please, let it only hit the white trailer courts.
Good.
And
right,
especially the ones with the Dixie flag. So, yeah, at least I'm not afraid to admit it.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there are people out there, but I don't know anyone in my circle, my world, who is cheering on the devastation that they've seen in Pacific Palisades or other parts of California. I don't know anyone personally that's cheering on devastation from any of these natural disasters, except there's one group of people, wacky lefties like that, because they do it all the time. They root for Trump to be assassinated, and they go online and they're very proud to think about this. These are the loving, caring people. That's a person that wants, I guarantee you, she wants diversity, and she's an alphabet mafia person. But all of her compassion stops at the door when it comes to someone who might have a different opinion of her politically, right?
Yeah.
It's disgusting, but that's why we like to expose some of these people from time to time. Our friend Charles Lipson is back with us. He is Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago. Happy New Year, Charles. How are you?
I'm doing good. When I listen to that, beyond my disgust, which I completely share with
right.
you, I had one other thought, which I think is a very common thing. It's neither left nor right. I think a lot of people assume that other people's views are a mirror of their own. She said the reason she knows that MAGA people wanted LA to burn was that she wants trailer parks
right.
to be destroyed. So they must have the same kind of views about things that they hate that she does. There's no reason for her to believe that. But I think that's very common. And I'll give you an example of where that kind of thing can lead to just huge problems. The United States, certainly under George W. Bush, thought that the whole world wants freedom. And they want it so much that when we invade Iraq, they will want to set up a democracy. Because we would. So we mirror our own views onto other societies. Sometimes that's accurate. Often it's not.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of truth to that. You and I are going to talk about the fires here. I have my friend John Ziegler coming up here after the top of the hour, and he's the host of the Death of Journalism podcast. I think you'd rather like it quite a bit, Charles, because he highlights some of the things out there that are media malfeasance topics on a regular basis. And he's an LA guy, so he's got some great insight into the leadership failures, and you've written about the leadership failures. I don't know. Let me ask this question, because John's got some thoughts on this, too. Does this completely put the nail in the coffin of Gavin Newsom trying to be a presidential presidential candidate, or can he recover?
No, he can't recover. He can buy all the Brill cream he wants for his hair, but he's done.
I think he's done too. I really do. But you know, we've said that about
Karen
people.
Bass is done. I don't know whether she'll be recalled. I don't know whether Newsom will be recalled. But I don't see how they rise to higher positions. And let me just say, in terms of these attacks and people saying nasty things, I wrote this piece which you've referred to. People can get my pieces at Charles Lipson, LIPSON.com. They're all free. You can sign up. I'm happy to send them to you. And the piece is called "When Is a Fire an Earthquake?" And the answer is when it opens a gaping hole under failed politicians and their policies. Well, I've been attacked for that by saying, why aren't you just spending all your time sympathizing for the victims? And the answer is, I do sympathize for the victims, but a lot of their suffering was unnecessary. I was reminded of an old joke about the Soviet Union, that Soviet agriculture suffered from four big problems: winter, spring, summer, and fall.
Yeah.
And L.A. suffers from Santa Ana winds. And it's got a very dry climate through a lot of the years. It's not as if any of this stuff came out of the blue. It's not a once in a hundred year. It's a once in a hundred year fire, but it's not a once in a hundred year event that the Santa Ana winds blow and that the environment is kindling.
Well, to your point, so when I have my friend John Ziegler come on, when I was listening to his podcast, he kind of made the analogy between Hurricane Katrina, because there again, you're going to get big hurricanes, but they were so ill-prepared down in New Orleans and Louisiana for something of that caliber that's why the devastation was so severe. In this particular case, again, you're going to have unusual circumstances, but my goodness, you pointed out, Charles, you got a guy who's the governor with his Brill Cream, whose priority in Sacramento was to Trump-proof his state, not to fireproof Los Angeles, but to Trump-proof his state. That's the number one priority.
They got a special session of the legislature in session now, Trump-proofing the legislature. And they spent all this time trying to save one small fish. They spill billions and billions of gallons of water that's desperately needed in Southern California into the Pacific to save this fish. It's not as if saving one endangered species is not a good thing, but there's a limit to the kind of cost that people can be asked to pay. And the citizens of California pay very high taxes, so they have a right to expect very good services, and they've gotten terrible services.
You wonder if this is, I think it might be a turning point. You're seeing some celebrities be a little brave in their criticism of Democrats out there. So I wonder if this is a bit of a turning point, because this Rick Caruso guy who ran against Karen Bass has been getting a lot of publicity and making the points that some of the stuff he's pointed out in the past. So I think you're right about Karen Bass. She is toast. There's no doubt about that. And she's still not offering a lot of answers to people out there. I've been watching and listening to a lot of the local media coverage, and they're giving Newsom a bit of a break, I think, but not Karen Bass right now.
Have you seen that woman who's, by the way, all the people at the top of the LA Fire Department?
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rose through the ranks of being emergency medical technicians. None of them were firefighters. They were EMTs. And
I don't think I knew that.
No, this is a big problem. I mean, after the Israeli war in Lebanon in 2006, I believe it was, one of the things that was noticed was that all the heads of the military were from the Air Force. There was nobody who had been an on-the-ground type fighter. And you need a mix of people with various experiences. But the woman who's paid $300,000 a year to head the DEI department did a video. Have you seen this video?
I have, yeah.
Oh, God. She says, and nobody's asking her a hard question. She says this voluntarily. Well, people say, you know, maybe some women firefighters couldn't lift out a heavy person out of a burning building. And her response is, well, maybe that person shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, very Cal. I played the audio last week. That was one of my audio cuts of the day. And I actually had to listen to that one a few times. And when I played it to Sue, I'm like, this is actually real. She actually said this, which is kind of stunning. But
well, look, I mean, you know, the point is and I thought, heck, Seth, I didn't watch all the hearings today. I have a life. But they were asking him about women in combat. And his point, if I understood it correctly, was he has no objection to women in combat. But the standards, including, I guess, the physical standards for performance, will have to be the same for everyone. I mean, they should be essential standards. You can't have a job placement for radio announcers that ask you to do calculus. It's not part of your job. But you can ask people who are firefighters, can they lift a heavy hose that's full of water?
Yeah, seems like a legitimate question. By the way, on the DEI front, it was one of our United States senators on this committee, Eric Schmidt, that was posing some of these DEI questions.
For those watching at home, DEI is not about giving everybody opportunity. It is rooted in cultural Marxism. The idea that you pit the room, any room, with oppressor versus oppressed. It's race essentialism, and it is poison. It has no business whatsoever in our military. I think the American people have spoken loudly and clearly about this. They're tired of this. They're tired of woke ideology. And to my Democrat colleagues on the other side, if you haven't picked up on that, you missed the plot. Because that's what November 5th partially was about.
Yeah, even John Fetterman sort of gets that at this point. But that's Senator Schmidt this morning at that hearing, and they went on to offer Yeah, and he went on to offer with Pete some examples of some of the stuff that's gone on.
Let me give you my my take is basically the same, but it has one twist. Especially having grown up in the South as I did, I thought that it was unfair in 1967 or 1972 to ask people who had been condemned not just to segregation but to poor schooling and a whole lifetime of discrimination to compete on a level and say, well, now it's a level playing field, everybody should compete. But we are 50 plus years past that, and so that should have been a sunset. And yet it hasn't been. And I'll tell you where it's really dreadfully apparent is in medical schools, especially UCLA. You have airlines that want to do this for pilots. These are life and death. There should be merit-based and merit-based only.
You know, look, they need to, and I think so there's shifting of some of this, but one of the things that I always point to is I played this audio, I don't know, maybe it was even 2 years ago, of a graduating class for the medical school at the University of Minnesota, and they were all forced in the ceremony to basically say a woke pledge of allegiance to all this diversity, blah, blah, blah. And what I said at the time, Charles, is I bet a good portion of the people, maybe even 80% of the people in that room, had no interest in spitting out that blah, 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 but they knew they had to in order to, you know, take the next step in their career.
Right.
I do hope that some of this stuff is being exposed in ways, especially in higher education, that's going to taper off. However, it's still the woke that run these academic institutions. Mr. Lipson is a rarity at the University of Chicago. Hey,
you,
Charles.
You stopped selling that to your audience 24/7, yeah. You know?
Hey, I got to go. We got to get to a break, but thank you, Charles. Always great. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.